Hi everyone, Ruby Ryder here. I would like to welcome you to Pecking Paradise Podcast number 185 on January 30th, 2018. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right hand side of my website. Remember, there's an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of totally body safe, non-toxic toys that can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com/rubyrider and be sure to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. So let's do a Patreon update.
Yes.
Since the last Patreon update, let me tell you what's been happening. First, Corey signed up for $5 a month. Corey, I am so grateful for your support and your pledge. Thank you. And then Larry signed up for $20 a month. Larry, so appreciate your pledge. Thank you for your generosity. And then Bill Baggins, who you've heard from before, he's been a patron for a while, he increased his monthly pledge from $30 a month to $50 a month. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your pledges, for Bill, for increasing yours. I can't tell you guys how much this means. So where are we now? So right now, where we stand that goes in my pocket every month, I'm so grateful, $474. We are really close to that $500 goal. And that $500 goal allows me to cut back even more on my day jobs, basically. The goal when I wrote it up last June, in 2016 June, when I started on Patreon, said I would be able to reduce my day jobs 25% when I got up to $500 a month. Well, it's interesting because I've been able to reduce that a little bit more already because I am also making commissions from enticeme.com for all of you amazing people out there that are purchasing through Entice Me. I had my two best months ever, commission-wise, in November and December. In fact, you guys bought enough toys that it kicked me up into a different category. And for the next quarter, any toys I buy through Tiffany are 40% off. Check it. So I definitely have some in mind, but I'm not going to talk about those until the end of the podcast after I go through some of your letters. But before we get to your letters, I have just a few announcements. I wanted to remind you once again about the upcoming special podcast. February 7th is the deadline to get in any contributions you have for the bisexual podcast. The podcast isn't until February 13th, but that happens to coincide with my trip to Denver. So you're going to need to get those submissions in to me by February 7th. I would love to hear your stories. Whatever place bisexuality has in your life, whether it's still in fantasy land, you're on the down low, you love it and incorporate it in your relationship, you don't have a relationship, but you're bisexual anyway, just tell me your stories and send them in to ruby@peggingparadise.com. And then I am teaching two classes. The first is going to be in Denver on February 10th at the Blush and Blue Bar. And that's going to be really interesting because I have issued a challenge to myself. Check this out, a little backstory on this. So I was teaching at DomCon, and after my class at DomCon, a couple approached me, and the couple, here's what they looked like. There was a person who was dressed more like typically a man in kind of a suit without the jacket and the vest and the tie and the dress shirt and pants. That person talked to me and enlightened me kindly that not everyone fits the gender pronouns that I was teaching to. In other words, that person by their body shape appeared to be female, but identified as male. And he was with a person who was dressed up in this beautiful frilly pink outfit with a tutu and hose and heels. And that person, although appearing to be male, identified as female. So in that case, he was pegging her, okay? So really started me thinking, and that was some years ago. And since then, what I've done is I have a gender disclaimer before I teach. And I basically say I realize that there are people who are here at the class who may identify as male and don't have a prostate, people who identify as female who do have a prostate, or people who choose to identify as neither who may or may not have a prostate. And I mean no exclusion, no discrimination, but I am going to use the convenient pronouns when I teach. Well, okay, that's a disclaimer, it's nice, but wouldn't it be nice if I could find the right words to be all-inclusive? Prostate owner and non-prostate owner are way too tongue-twisty. Pegger and peggy I chose not to use because, despite how much I have enjoyed getting some prime domains with the word pegging, there are a bunch of people out there that just simply don't like the name. So I didn't want to kind of run that into the ground for the people that, you know, just kind of wince when they hear the word pegging, because they're out there. Anyway, it's been in the back of my mind for a while, and actually what I came up with recently was just simply giver and receiver. It's pretty easy. Giver and receiver. So, Blush and Blue, I read up on the history of Blush and Blue in Denver, back to me teaching the classes, right? Well, Blush and Blue used to be a lesbian bar, then it was bought, and now, even though I think it's kind of still a lesbian bar because of the history of the place itself, it is absolutely all-inclusive. LGBTQ, a lot of queer people, awesome people, and so there's so many reviews on Yelp talking about, wow, I feel totally at home here. So I thought, what better place, when the gender binary is challenged a bit, for me to practice teaching the entire class with giver and receiver? So I mentioned that, and somebody who is going to come to that class has said, awesome, I usually speak up a lot in class, and I will hold you accountable. I will be your person who reminds you, because I've asked for their help, the people who come to the class. So that's going to be really fun. I don't know if I'm going to keep a count of how many times I blow it or what, but I do want to make that switch, because people feeling good about their sexuality is all about inclusivity. It's about not judging. It's about respecting people from where they are, for how they identify, for their desires, and all of that stuff. So anyway, that's my challenge there. So that's February 10th in Denver. And then I am going to teach another class in Long Beach with Tiffany on February 17th, Long Beach, California. So those two classes are on the slate. And I did want to announce for anybody out there who is on FetLife, I finally decided to start my own FetLife pegging group. It's called Pegging Paradise with Ruby Rider. And the reason I decided to start it is because I kind of cruise around the edges of the existing groups, and I have a variety of reactions. One is the reaction that I have with how the pegging group on Reddit devolved into basically a crapload of men putting in ads, and it doesn't get moderated. It clutters everything up. There is no good discussion, so that's difficult. And every once in a while, I go on there and say, you know, guys, ads don't work. And here's a bunch of articles that I've written that can help you try and find a pegging partner. And if anybody listening, this is your first podcast, or you haven't heard me talk about this before, if you go to my website at peggingparadise.com and you click that drop down that says new to pegging and then click men. So that has a whole list of articles for newbies to pegging. But there is a heading that says, you know, how do I find a woman to peg me? And then there's, I don't know, 9 or so articles for you to read to educate yourselves about the complexities of finding a woman to peg you, the different points of view. So that's something you might want to explore if you want to. But the point being that these groups that I've been spending time at really kind of frustrate me. So I thought, well, you know, there's that whole thing about if you don't like what's happening, do it yourself. And I should have done this a long time ago. So anybody on FetLife, come on over, join the group. The rules are posted there. There are absolutely no ads. And I mean, seriously, no ads. No givers looking for receivers. No receivers looking for givers. No pros looking for clients. No ads at all. None. But we will have all kinds of discussions, and questions are welcome. So I hope to see you guys there who are on FetLife. Come on over and join the group. And now let's get to your letters. Absolutely. As someone who is new to pegging, but have taken to it well and fully embraced and enjoy it, but still think new, I think a chat room would be a great idea to get advice and ideas on how to improve the experience. So, okay, we've had this come up before, and I think I asked you guys, do you want a chat room or a forum? The forum I put up there is rudimentary, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, and it doesn't have enough traffic for it to be a really lively place yet. I don't know if it's ever going to get there. I don't know if the one that I chose because it doesn't have all the bells and whistles is sort of preventing that or precluding more people from really getting into it. But I have thought about the possibility of a chat room before. Here are two concerns I have about a chat room. Because, the reason I'm reading this is because I want to know what you guys think about it. And here are my two concerns. One is that chat rooms need moderators. And I have enough things going right now. Point being, chat rooms need moderators in the moment. So it would be nice if people could be hanging out there, sort of making sure that things are okay, because I don't have time to do that. And it's sort of like real time, in the forum, I can go and if there's an asinine comment, I can delete it and tell the person and, whatever. And that hasn't happened yet, by the way, you guys have been lovely. But with the chat room, it's easier to kind of do it in the moment and become a bit of a troll. On the other hand, it could end up being a space where guys kind of feel safe to meet and talk about pegging and share information and share experiences in the moment. It could be kind of cool because the safety of knowing that everyone who is in that chat room is interested in pegging and okay with it, you kind of are able to hopefully lose the fear that people will judge you, people will call you names, stupid shit like that. So you notice I've been talking just about the receivers, the men, and I don't know if any givers, women, will be there. I don't know. But my other concern, this is the second one, is that they'll be pounced on, right? It's like, oh my God, a woman who loves pegging, we're all over her. And I don't want that to happen either. So I have voiced my concerns and also what I thought might be valuable about it. So how about if you guys tell me what you think about a chat room? Because I think I'd like to revisit this idea about a chat room. All right, here's my next letter. And this is from Sadly Solo Buttsplorer for now. Buttsplorer, I love the word you guys come up with. And the subject is enemas and pelvic floor. Hi, Ruby. I wrote to you about 6 months ago about how things were slowly moving along. There's been a bit of a setback, and my dear wife has pulled back from anal play, but I'm not giving up. I'll keep the communication channels open, and we'll hopefully get there someday. The reason I'm writing is to just see if you'd be interested in two things. I can elaborate if you are, but I will keep it short for now. First, I know that you have said that enemas are usually not required before play. I have wonky bowels, and it is much safer for me to take an enema first, so I do. I have started to enjoy them just as enemas now. I know that you sometimes touch on issues, sometimes controversial, connected with pegging, and if you ever wanted to talk about erotic enemas, I would be willing to be a source or an interviewee. I'm not a doctor, but I have looked into the research because I really didn't want to blow out my bowels. Second is a medically connected topic, pelvic floor disorder. Usually this is thought of as a women's problem, but yes, it affects men as well and can cause pain, urinary symptoms, constipation, and even erectile trouble. I've been through it and would be willing to talk. When I wrote before, it was a guy with a happy ass and happy wife, if you're wondering. So this is awesome, these two areas that you have brought up. The enema play, I would like to talk to you about both of those, and I think that we should schedule an interview. And I am just like talking off the cuff here. Sometimes I go, okay, this is a good letter, and I throw it on my document to read it for the podcast. And then I sort of forget about what it was about until I'm right here reading it. So I am right here reading it. And yes, I would like to interview you, and I think that we should talk about both of those at the same time. During the interview, I have approached the pelvic floor dysfunction before on this podcast. I can't recall which podcast it was, but I know I talked about it because pelvic floor dysfunction is much more widespread than people realize. And all of the symptoms that you listed, people can have and have no idea that has to do with pelvic floor dysfunction. I know that Kegel exercises for men and women really help pelvic floor dysfunction, but there are also therapists who are trained to go in there and massage from the inside to relieve that. Tiffany is connected to one, and I believe she came to one of my pegging classes. So they usually do this under the supervision of a physical therapist, so that is another option. And this is one of the reasons why I think prostate massage is really good, because it gets in there and massages some of those muscles. If you're getting in and just massaging the prostate itself with something like a Pure Wand, you could go in and just massage the walls of your anal region yourself. Since women have a vagina, usually they go in that way for pelvic floor massage. But I do believe that when men are treated for it, you must go in anally, because that's the only way you can go in. But the point being, yes, this is a really important part of your body, and it is a part of your body that men tend to hold tension in quite a bit. Yeah, let's do that. Let's schedule an interview and we can enlighten people. I am happy to go off topic a little bit because it doesn't always have to all be about pegging. These things are very, very related to pegging, absolutely. I think if someone has really severe pelvic floor dysfunction and disorder, then it would be difficult for them to enjoy pegging perhaps as well. I mean, it could be that pain is involved. It's hard to say. So yes, let's do it. Thank you very much for writing in, and I look forward to you sharing your information with everyone. Thank you for writing in, and I will be in touch for that interview. And guess what we have now? Pegging celebration time! Loved anal stimulation all of my life. Finding your podcast and Pegging Paradise has helped me realize that I am not the only guy who enjoys this. Last summer, I told my wife how much I liked having my butt played with and that I wanted her to do that to me. She was very unsure, but was at least willing to explore. About the same time, I found your podcast and quickly realized I had made a big mistake. I had approached the subject from a very negative position. I was terrified of what she would think of me. After listening to a few episodes and continuing to try to talk with her about anal play, I had her listen to episode 112. Right or wrong, this was the first time I had brought up pegging. She was shocked that that was what I meant and wanted. This led to a number of discussions between us about what I wanted and how this would affect our relationship. Lots of tears and some laughter. Throughout all of this, I think that I did everything wrong that you tell everyone not to do. I ran down to the toy store and bought the cheapest dildo and harness set, both bad. When I showed my wife, her response was, "How is that going in anywhere?" I nervously laughed and told her that we'd never know if we didn't try. She was great and gave it a go, but it was definitely disappointing for us both. Pegging was not achieved. I also found out afterward, while experimenting with that first dildo, that it was a bad toy. It smelled like chemicals, and I seemed to be able to taste the chemical smell the next day, even when using it with a condom. It quickly went to the landfill. A few months went by, and I brought up the infamous podcast with my wife and asked her if we could try again. She said she would be willing to try. I let her know that I was going to get some better toys. She did not want to help pick them out, though. So I purchased the Tantus Sport, Silk Large, and the Vamp through the grab bag. Also, the Perfect Plug Kit. When they all arrived, she was shocked, but in a good way. She laughed, especially at the Vamp. I was more than a bit surprised. That thing is huge compared to anything that I had played with. Anyway, the toys all arrived just as the holidays were beginning. That and demands of work made it difficult to find time enough to try anything. Finally, the holidays were over, and we had an evening alone. I asked her if we could give it another try. She agreed. We pulled out the toys and both got ready. She had on a beautiful set of lingerie that she'd received for Christmas, after ensuring that she received all the attention and satisfaction that she wanted. It was my turn. We fumbled around with the harness and the sport, had a few good laughs at our nervousness. She was worried about not knowing what she was doing. I assured her over and over that she was doing just fine. She could not have been more sexy. Once she entered me, it was as if lightning exploded in me. I knew that this was exactly what I wanted and who I wanted. All of the nervousness and build-up to this point had been worth it. Yes, I made mistakes along the way, but now here I was, being pegged by the woman I love. What a way to start off the new year. The past year has taught us both much about each other, but the best thing is the amazing amount of communication that we have done. We celebrated 25 years together last spring, but the past 6 months have brought us closer together than ever, both emotionally and physically. For a while I was worried that she would not be willing to explore this area together. She still has some reservations and wonders what else I'm going to bring up, and she jokes about not listening to any more podcasts with me, but I know that we can talk and trust one another more now than we could before. Thanks for all that you do and for giving me the confidence and courage to talk to my love about a hidden part of my life. Not so hidden anymore. Yay. Wow. That's excellent. Yeah, that happens sometimes that you try the stuff and then you find my podcast and you go, crap, I did all this wrong. But, you know, you were talking about it, which is the first step. And even if you're not talking about it the right way, at least you were talking about it. And that's something. There are so many couples who never talk about it. They just hide these things. So good for you. And I'm so glad that you found your way through. Congratulations to you both. I had to laugh when you said she looked so sexy because, you know, women sometimes, not, I don't know about many times, but at least sometimes, are fearful of not looking feminine, of not looking beautiful, of looking ridiculous with a fake cock strapped onto their body, right? And I keep telling him, oh my God, he's going to be creaming his jeans. And, you know, probably don't have the jeans on at that point, but you get my point. And you said she could not have been more sexy. See, ladies, this is what I'm talking about, okay? This is it. He has been fantasizing about you wearing that strap on for so long, and there you are with it on. You can't do anything wrong. Well, as long as you're enthusiastic and willing to explore, but I know how difficult it can feel in the beginning with that steep learning curve for the women who have never had a cock before. You strap one on, you're going, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with this thing. It does take practice, but the way that you two are approaching that practice is just excellent. I love how she kind of joked, too. It's like, well, you had this wild idea from listening to a podcast, so, you know, lighten up on those podcasts, because who knows what you're going to ask me to do next. Just the fact that there's an open line of communication is thrilling. Perhaps not as thrilling as how it felt when she slid that deep inside you, which you described quite well. But wow. Excellent job, you two. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Hi, Ruby. My girlfriend and I both really enjoy pegging. It is an all-new cocktail of feelings, emotions, and power dynamics for both of us. And she really enjoys being in charge in the bedroom. Now that we both know this is something we are seriously interested in, we were hoping to try out one of the strapless or doubles dildos, as you refer to them. My question is this, if we're going to purchase a harness to wear with it, what exactly am I looking for? In many harnesses, even those labeled as working with strapless toys, there is material in between the O-ring and the wearer's body. For instance, we own a Tantus bend-over beginner kit, and that harness has a soft velvety pad that presses against her body. I suppose we could remove that piece, but wouldn't that affect the strength or support of the harness? Just trying to figure out the logistics of mutual insertion. Hopefully I am being clear. I would love some guidance on this, as my Google foo has been less than clarifying. Thanks. Google foo. Lovely. So, and this is from Steve. So, Steve, the less expensive harnesses do tend to have that solid back, and it indeed is not compatible with the doubles. The Tantus bendover kit, I believe what they tell you is to remove it if you want it to be compatible for a double. But it's not ideal because it's not a really good harness, and absolutely it's going to affect the stability of it, and it's not going to work all that well. So it sounds like it served you well to start your pegging adventure, but now it's time to upgrade. So when you asked about that fabric, well, it's very different. The ones that are compatible with doubles do have fabric behind, but usually what it is two overlapping pieces of fabric that separate. And that's where the dildo would go through. It is not a solid piece of anything. It's just overlapping fabric. That's the way the spare parts harnesses are, the fabric harnesses. So that is one of the choices that you have, are the spare parts harnesses. And depending on what you like and what she likes, the Jacques, that's the basic two-strap model that kind of looks like a jock strap. I think that's why they called it that. The Sasha, which is more of a panty style, and it has those beautiful garters and also some ruching up the back to emphasize those lovely butt cheeks. The Bella is another panty style one that has the garters, and it also has a little peephole to look at the butt crack from the back. It's quite cute. And then the Tomboy, which is more like a pair of briefs. So all of those made by Spare Parts are phenomenally good because Spare Parts only puts out the best. I'll put the links to all of those in the Linkorama, of course. And if you want to get away from the fabric and go to leather, one of the biggest reasons people like to do that is because there is still about a quarter inch of give with the fabric harnesses because, hey, elastic. No matter how good the elastic is, it cannot hold that toy as tight against your body as a leather harness. So Aslan leather would be the ones that I recommend, either the Jaguar or the Minx. What's the difference between the two? They're both lovely, sumptuously, deliciously soft leather. They're amazing. The Jaguar is the basic with the two-strap style, and then the Minx is fancier in that it has a corset lace-up back panel, really good for big, beautiful women. And it also comes standard with the double-up cuff, which is a small leather piece that slides on those two straps underneath and can be used to hold a butt plug in while she's fucking you. So there you go. All the links are going to be in the Linkorama for all those. Those are the ones that I recommend the most. And in case you didn't know, my favorite double is the Fuse Tango paired with the Wii Vibe Tango Mini Vibe. And I'll put those links in the Linkorama as well. The Fuse Tango was developed with the intention of taking all the good things from the existing doubles out there and putting them in one and losing all the bad things. And that's exactly what they did. The Fun Factory has its pluses and minuses. The Fieldo has its pluses and minuses that I've talked in detail about in other podcasts. And the Tango nails it, in my opinion. And you really, if you want to have that clitoral stimulation with the Mini Vibe, the one to get has the same name, coincidentally, the Wii Vibe Tango Mini Vibe. So there's your answers for you, and I commend you on your decision to upgrade your equipment. From everyone I've heard from, if they start off with a Tantus Bendover Beginner Kit and they get something really nice, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes so much difference. This is so much better. So I hope to hear from you with a degree of how better it is, and in detail, please. Thanks for the question. Thanks for writing in. Here's another email. I was wondering if you have used any of the Fuse dildos with the ridged base. It looks like the base should be good for clitoral stimulation. Do you have any experience with this type of dildo, and did it give you satisfying clitoral stimulation? The reason I ask is that my partner and I have used the double-ended type where one end goes in her vagina. She said that it's okay, but does not get any stimulation from it. I am very interested in the Fuse Alpha, and this is from Marty. So, Marty, here's the deal about those. I call those the Fuse singles to differentiate them between the Fuse doubles. Sounds like you have your eye on the Alpha. That's a nice size toy. It's actually the longest one they make, but it has a pretty good girth, too. So here's the deal on the base of the Fuse singles. It is convex a little bit. Not concave, but convex. So it's like a marquee-shaped or eye-shaped base, and then it has that convex, so it curves a little bit out and nestles in that vulva area over her lady bits and ideally her clitoral area as well. So there's an insertable hole that holds the Vibe. And the best thing about those singles, in my opinion, because yes, I have used one, is not necessarily the ridges. The ridges are there. They're okay. I mean, I'm sure it gives more stimulation than if it was just slick. But for me, the Vibes are the deal. Now, what's important is who's using it when they describe things, right? So I am a woman who does not orgasm easily. And those clitoral vibrations have gotten me close. They've gotten me closer than any other toy while I'm pegging someone has gotten. One of the considerations here is if your girlfriend really enjoys G-spot stimulation, clitoral stimulation, or a combination of both. If she likes the G-spot stimulation, then the double, the fused tango, would probably be better for her because it combines that G-spot inside with the vibe, okay? But if she's not real big on the G-spot type of stimulation and is mainly a clitoral type of orgasmer, so to speak, then what you would want is the singles. And the thing is, you're not going to get that size off the double because there's only the one size and they don't make a variety of sizes of them. If that's the size you'd want, then I'd go for the alpha. So there you go. That's the answer to that question. I hope that was helpful, and thank you so much for writing in with your question. Okay, this one came from Reddit. Sorry to message you without permission. You just seemed very knowledgeable on the topic of pegging. My girlfriend has been pegging me for a while now, and it's been fantastic. She loves it, and I love it. The only issue at the moment is she is slightly fatter than other women, which doesn't bother me in the slightest. I absolutely love her. It just makes for keeping a dildo inserted a little harder. We really like the King Cock dildo range for the quality of them, but we need a longer one so she can thoroughly pound my ass how she deserves to. The issue with King Cock in that area, they escalate too quickly in girth to take a 10 to 12 inch dildo, sadly. Don't get me wrong, I shall be able to take any thickness she desires of me. We just wish to be safe and keep it fun. So my main question of you is, do you know of a dildo that's similar in realism, quality, and flexibility to that of King Cock, which doesn't get to unreasonable thickness? Thank you if you take the time to help. If not, I completely understand. So, you know, I did some research on this, and this has come up before. You're asking for quite a long dildo, and the best source that I found for what you are looking for is actually at Bad Dragon. Bad Dragon is a website you can get lost in. And I swear, you know, I kind of rang their bell and said, hey, you guys got an affiliate thing? Because, you know, I could be selling your stuff. They have some beautiful toys and they custom make them to the firmness of silicone and the color that you want. And they have all kinds of fantasy-oriented things, but they do have some that are kind of like regular dildos as well. Now, do they have a realistic one in terms of regular man-looking cock thing? Not so much. They don't. They have a few that are kind of like that, but the realism part, you're not going to get there. The size and length, you will. So the one they sell that actually looks like a cock is called the Archer, but that does not come in the size that you want. So you'd be sacrificing realism, but at the same time, you can choose your colors, and they're amazing toys. And the one that I found for you is called the Chance. There are two, Chance and the Chance Flared. The unflared one is the one that you want. And let me tell you the measurements here. They have total length and total usable length, which is also called insertable. And this is really important. So I'm not sure which you were trying to get, if that total measurements that you were talking about, the 10 to 12 inches, was total length or insertable length. However, the choice between the medium and the large, the usable length of the medium is 9.75 inches. The usable length of the large is 12, and they even have an extra large for 15. And let me tell you the diameters of these. The diameter of a medium, which is 9.75 inches usable length, the diameter of the head is 1.89, and the shaft is 1.71, so you have a little bit of a pronounced head on that, okay? The large, you've got 12 inches usable, and the diameter of the head is 2.37. The diameter of the shaft is 2.14. And if you want to go as far as the extra large, the usable length is 15 inches, and the diameter of the head is 2.77. Diameter of the shaft is 2.72. So that's a whole bunch of measurements, but go check out the Chance. The variety of colors that Bad Dragon offers is phenomenal. and you might be able to find something that would satisfy your quest for realism. It's kind of hard to say, but I'm going to put the link for the chance there and have some fun looking at all those colors. You know, maybe you might decide that instead of something really realistic looking, you want something really, really cool colored. I don't know. But that's the best advice I have for you. I really don't know of any dildos that long that aren't incredibly wide. You know, that is one of the things I keep asking the makers to make is longer dildos that don't have the diameter, because you have lovely big people and they need to clear that flesh to get to their sexy parts, right? And so you need something with a longer reach. So yes, I totally get where you're coming from. Hopefully one of those is helpful to you, and they do sell them in different firmnesses. I would caution on getting the really not firm one, because I did see a video where a woman had one that she was using and she kind of had to hold it to get it in there because it didn't have enough rigidity for her to just to maintain its form while she thrust in and out. That was a kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, hope this helps. Enjoy. Let us know how that works. And thanks for the question. Here is a comment that I got on FetLife, which just warmed my heart. You know how I get. So I wanted to read it to you guys. Thank you for bringing a language and an understanding to everything pegging. You're an amazing pioneer helping people understand that traditional roles can be fluid. My wife has been so enlightened by your podcast. Pegging is no longer a taboo for her. Our communication skills have really improved because you gave us a platform to jump off from. Thank you so much. Wow. And thank you for writing that in. This is my dream that things like this happen. This is why I do what I do. So I appreciate when I get these letters and these comments like this, because it lets me know I'm right where I need to be, doing exactly what I need to be doing. Here's my next email. I am looking for advice as to how to convince my male partner that I am ready to fulfill his secret desires. Our normal dynamic is me submissive and him dominant. But mostly, we just communicate well and immensely enjoy our intimate times. He is unaware that I have found his 6 years old but active profile on a kink site where he lists himself as submissive and heavy into anal play and strap-ons. I have witnessed him poking fun at a mutual friend's husband for requesting to be pegged, so he is obviously afraid of the social stigma that comes with it. I did make it clear in that moment that I was okay with whatever anyone was into, that they should be able to experience their deepest desires with a trusted partner. This was way before we were together. Knowing my open-mindedness, he has still never even hinted to me that he may have a submissive bone in his body, nor that he is willing to be pegged. I would love some advice as to how and when I should bring this up to him, that not only do I know his secret, but I am ready and willing to fulfill this desire for him. Your website has been most helpful in giving me the information I need to feel confident in pleasing him, in combination with the excellent communication skills he and I already possess. I would also like to know if it is less common than I suspect for a submissive to peg her dominant in order to please him. I understand he may be a switch, but I feel very submissive about the idea of pegging, and I deeply desire to do it simply because I want to fulfill his needs. Thank you so much for any insight you can give me into handling this delicate situation. I do not want him to feel violated that I stumbled onto his dirty little secret. It is obviously not a great idea to just waltz into the bedroom one night in my strap-on and tell him to bend over. Personally, I am eager to tell him and get started. Okay, so situation like this needs to be handled delicately. Absolutely. You stumbled onto something, but at the same time, you kind of were probably where you shouldn't have been, and that's how you found it, because otherwise you probably wouldn't have found it, is the assumption that I'm making. And that may be an incorrect assumption. However, what I am concerned about is him feeling that you violated his privacy. So, personally, I don't think I would even tell him that I found it. I would just put that out of my mind, and I would concentrate on how you can bring this up to him in the least threatening way possible so that he feels like he can trust you, and explore this with you. Because, I mean, someday, far, far in the future, if you guys turning into a happy pegging couple, you might decide to share that piece of information with him. Well, you know, the reason that I knew you were into this was because I actually stumbled across your profile. But right now, no, I wouldn't lead with that because it feels violating a privacy. And it also, there's clearly some shame involved here for him. So the idea would be to get past the shame. And so how would you do that? Well, first of all, make it like it's your idea. Clearly, it's your idea, right? So I don't know. I would probably say something like, you know, I've been cruising around on such and such a place, and I found this website, and I found out that prostate stimulation can give you potentially some amazing orgasms, and I want to try that because I want to please you. Okay, you are in the submissive position. He's usually in the dominant. So you can frame it in a way that you are wanting to give him more pleasure, but that also the idea of it is exciting to you. Because it's one more way that you can do something to him, and it is a way you can do something to him where he can let go and allow you to be doing things. Okay, is it more common for women with more of a dominant thread in them, a dominant leaning, to want to peg their man? Well, yes and no. I think that it kind of freaks some women who are submissively leaning, freaks them out a little bit because they picture that they're just going to have to be really dominant. This is a common misconception because of porn, okay? Porn almost always has the really hardcore dominatrix who ties him up and beats him and dresses him in women's clothes and then fucks him and verbally degrades him and all of those things. Now, if any of you listening are into any of those things, there's nothing wrong with any of them at all. They're awesome. If that's your kink, rock on. But they're not inextricably connected. But because porn is almost exclusively that, unless you are looking at amateurs, what happens is you look at that and you think, okay, so this is how this is done. And you, if you're submissive, you're like, how can I ever do that? And I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I teach at DomCon sometimes. And DomCon is a convention, a coming together of lifestyle and professional dominance. And some of them are men. The vast majority of them are women, however. But there's definitely men there, too. And they attend the pegging class because they're interested in pegging as well. So at this conference, when I teach there, the most common question I get is the whole question of, well, okay, if I'm a dominant guy, how can I be pegged? Because isn't that submissive? And don't I have to submit to her? Okay, let me introduce you people who may not be familiar with these terms, bottoming and topping and dominant and submissive. So dominant and submissive are pretty clear, right? There's a person who runs the show, they're dominant, and the submissive person does what they say, you know, does what they want and submits to them more or less. That's a very, very brief description. So there are people out there who enjoy bottoming. So for example, they might enjoy receiving a beating. They might enjoy being tied up, but they're not submitting to the person. They're enjoying having an intimate exchange and potentially sexually as well, exchange with someone where they are what they call bottoming. It's very different than someone who has the mindset of a submissive. It might be a difficult concept to grasp a little bit, but there you have it. Sometimes people really like to top, even though they are at heart a submissive, and sometimes people who are at heart a dominant really like to bottom. So that's the deal. This is what you would be doing, is you would be topping him. So he wouldn't have to submit to you. And that might be part of it that makes him a little bit uncomfortable as well. So when that question comes up, at DomCon, I say, okay, look, there's a lot of different ways that this can continue having a dominant submissive in the same direction that you're really used to. You could put the harness and dildo on her, have her lay on her back on the bed, blindfold, nipple clamps, ball gag are all optional, but then you just climb on top of her and ride her. Now, this is a little different than him getting fucked by you. However, you know, it's a nice, safe starting place. Especially that position, I call it cowboy, is really awesome because it allows him to completely control the speed of the penetration, the angle, the depth, all of those things. And so when the receiver is in control of that, it makes it a much better experience because, you know, it's their ass that's being penetrated and they know what feels good and what doesn't, and they automatically and immediately adjust if something isn't feeling right. So there's that potential. And I'm going to tell you a story at this point. I'm kinky. You all know that. I'm into BDSM. I'm dominant. And I invited a friend turned lover to come with me to a kinky event where we kind of took over a hotel. And I may have told this story before too. I keep saying that because I've had this podcast for so long. Nonetheless, this man was really interested in kink, but he really wasn't sure which side of the slash he fell, so to speak, whether he was submissive or dominant. So we got there that night, we checked into the hotel, and we go down to what's called the dungeon, where there's all of this stuff set up, and there's all of these couples engaging in BDSM play, being beaten, being tied up, all kinds of different stuff, right? And I asked him, well, so what appeals to you here? What turns you on the most? And he was watching this guy beat this woman, spank her, and do things to her. And I said, and which role interests you the most to play, right? And he said, oh, the guy, definitely, right? And so I was kind of bummed. I'm like, damn it, because I was hoping he would want to be beaten and that kind of thing. Anyway, we still had a marvelous weekend, but what he discovered is he was enabled to more clearly understand what it is he was looking for in regards to pegging. And he was able to articulate it this way. He said, I think what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a really feminine, petite woman, which clearly I'm not. We laughed about that. Who wants to peg me because I want it. You know, and this is what reminded me of this story is because you said, you know, I want to do this for him. And I want to give him pleasure. And that's just the perfect thing that fits in with what this guy was looking for, right? And it was hysterical. We laughed a lot about it because there was a moment where we were got back to the hotel room. We were clearly going to do some kind of sexy times, you know, whether or not it was actually going to be pegging. And so we were kissing and standing next to the foot of the bed, right? And I had him right in the right angle. And I pushed him down on the bed. And he said, you know, that was an interesting moment because I've had women push me down on the bed before, but usually they just kind of do this wimpy little push. And as a guy, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to fall on the bed. So you do, right? He said, you pushed me and I was going down. And I had this moment of fight and flight. So clearly. And he said, the reason that pegging isn't going to work with you is because you want to possess me. You want to take me. You're not doing this just because I want it, right? So that just gives you some examples to check out when you think about the role that you will play in this. So getting back to how do you do this, I might frame the example situation in something like that. But before you even get to the point of the whole pegging conversation, just ask if you guys can do some anal exploration play and tell them it's because you read something and you found out that prostate play is supposed to send guys to the moon and you want to do that for him. Now, if he's solidly against it and says, no, 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 you know, I would persist a bit and say, you know, I like having things in my ass, so I just thought that you would. And I, you know, I think that it would be a really fun thing, you know, approach it with enthusiasm, all of that. And I'm hoping that he will cave as opposed to standing strong and not being able to let down that veneer of resistance, because confessing what you really sexually desire when it's out of the norm is a very vulnerable thing to do, and it puts you in a tender space. And if you guys have been together for a while, what he's also thinking perhaps that he might be risking the relationship. I mean, you could say it also not only with enthusiasm, but for kind of off the cuff, you know, hey, I'd really like to explore your ass because I read this thing about how it would be a cool thing for the guy because it gives him so much pleasure. I mean, did you know that you can actually have multiple orgasms even? I read this thing about these guys who do, and they also say that if you get jerked off or if you have a butt plug in your ass while you're fucking your girlfriend, that your orgasm is almost like 10 times, you know, as intense. So why don't we explore that? Because that sounds way cool. And you know, if you wanted me to fuck you with one of those strap-on things, I'd totally be down for that. I think that sounds like the coolest thing ever. That's where the enthusiasm comes in, right? So, sample scripts for you. And that's a really good place to start before you even approach the whole subject of the potential of him wanting to be truly submissive, because then a long conversation needs to happen between the two of you in terms of just what you're comfortable doing and what roles you're comfortable playing. You may find that you are capable of topping him really efficiently and effectively and wonderfully, even though you still retain that submissive personality in bed, and you may find that you can't, but that is an advanced thing for later. I think that maybe if the pegging thing comes first and you sort of let him have the control over it, that potentially once you get past that point, the whole submissive question in terms of on his part can come up after that. That's all I got for right now. I wish you the very best of luck, and please let us know when I can play that music for you. Good luck to you, and thank you so much for writing in. Okay, now you know what I get to talk about? Woohoo! I get to talk about the cool things I found at the anime show. Once again, not to be confused with anime show, you know, the cartoon characters that all the young people are so nutso about that are pretty cool, actually. It's the anime, missing one syllable, A-N-M-E, Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. It's basically all the sex toy makers, okay? They're awesome. And I've gone to this, I think they have two a year, and I go, and actually, last time I went, I think I posted some pictures of me with all the different makers of the toys that you guys love so much. So here's what I found at this show. I'm so excited. First of all, Liberator had two things I want to tell you about. Liberator has a new sling. Okay, so picture this. If you enjoy the intimacy of missionary position when you're pegging your guy, right? One of the things that makes it difficult is him keeping his legs up. Either you hold them, he holds them, whatever, right? The sling is made so he doesn't have to keep his legs up. This is called the Salto, S-A-L-T-O, slingback. Here's what it looks like. It has a strap with a cushioned, comfy pillow on it. And that pillow goes behind your neck, okay? And then the strap extends out in both directions and then has sort of like stirrups, if you will. But these stirrups are meant for your thighs. So your guy's on his back, he's got the pillow behind his neck, and there's these nice velvety material stirrup things with an adjustment on the length of the straps, of course. And what that does is basically as he lays there, that helps him keep his legs up effortlessly. And depending on how flexible he is, you could have those be higher or lower, and it's pretty cool. I have been jonesing after one of these for a long time. I think I found one that was more, I don't know if the word hardcore is correct, but it had chains on it. I like that this one is fabric nylon straps. It's completely washable. It has a microfiber velvish, I think they call it, type of fabric that they make their cushions with as well. So that's going to be a really nice addition to you people who enjoy missionary, the Salto Slingback. When you click on the link that I have in the Linkorama and go to Entice Me and check it out, you'll see that you're given two choices, male or female. I assure you that they are exactly the same product. Here's what you get if you choose male. You get a box where the guy is the one wearing the sling. If you choose female, you get a box where the woman is the one wearing the sling. So that's the only difference, just to save a whole bunch of phone calls to Tiffany asking, what the heck? And then they also had at the show this interesting cushion. Okay, now picture this. It's kind of a cushion that sits flat, and it is longer than it is wide, and it has one angled surface with a hole in it. This hole holds a fleshlight, or more ideal, the bluet. So if you have a fleshlight or a bluet, this will fit right into that hole in the cushion. And the cushion is shaped, so here's what you can do. Now, the reason this excited me so much is because I listen to you people out there. I listen to the things you fantasize about. And, oh, damn it, what was the word? There was a term for being in between two people. And I'm not remembering it right now, and I don't have time to go look it up, but you're going to remind me, I know. So, anyway, the fantasy of fucking someone, whether it be a man or a woman, and then being fucked with a strap on, has been expressed by a number of you, and it's a pretty fucking hot fantasy, so I can see why it's so exciting. Well, this doesn't provide you with your third partner, which is a whole complicated thing to get into that some couples do quite successfully and have lots of fun, and others are intimidated by the prospect, and perhaps it doesn't fit in with your relationship agreements, etc., etc. Point is, you can fantasize about this because this is a cushion that's built at an angle and in such a way where you can lay over it. You can be fucking this fleshlight or blue it, and then your partner could be laying on top of you fucking your ass. It's just awesome. That's the very first thing I pictured when I saw this. They had two styles. One is stands up a little bit more. I can't remember the name of that one, but that one, what I realized was that it was very dependent on the length that your legs are from the knee to the hip. And if that didn't line up correctly, if you were really short or really long, it could be not the right height. You know, it's just like bodies are different. Who knows who's going to match up with what? But this other one, you kind of lay over. So that's going to be usable for everyone. And I do believe the cushion is going to be usable as well in other ways as a sex cushion. But that particular way was very exciting for me. So I wanted to share that with you. And let's see, what is the name of that? And of course, all of these are going to be in the Linkorama. It is called On a Mission. The Liberator On a Mission. It can also, they say, can be held up against a wall to simulate standing sex. And they are careful to include the information that it does not include the Bluet or the fleshlight. But of course, Bluet is available through enticeme.com. That link will be there too. And that in and of itself is an amazing male masturbatory toy that women can usually totally get on board for, because you can use that to train yourself to last longer in bed, to have better sex. It's totally fucking awesome. Okay, so there's that. And then last but not least, the third thing I want to tell you about is a pretty amazing thing in the area of sanitizing toys. Okay, so Mr. Engineer, if you're still listening, in this case, did you notice how I did not say sterilize? We are sanitizing. We are not sterilizing. So yes, your lecture to me on verbiage was appreciated. And I have changed that a little bit now. So sanitizing your toys. You want to use clean toys. Everybody wants to use clean toys. How do you keep them clean, right? Well, so UV light is really effective at killing the germs and the things that you don't want to spread to someone else. So there's a company called UV, spelled UVEE, and they make two different toy sterilizing boxes, so to speak. One is called the UV Home Play, and one is called the UV Go Play. The UV Go Play is smaller, 12.5 inches by 5, and 3.5 inches in depth. So this will hold one pretty good-sized toy, not the huge ones. And it does have also one USB charging outlet. Let me tell you a little bit about what these things are about. It's not just a box. It's basically, it's a sanitizing and charging storage system for adult toys. They claim, and this has been verified, they had to pass FDA testing, kills 99.9% of all germs on toys in 10 minutes or less. It has been scientifically tested, they say, by a master biochemist with years of experience in laboratory testing. It's a germicidal UV light, okay? So, you wipe off your toy, you know, clean with soap and water, or wipe it off with alcohol, whatever you usually do, and then you put it inside the UV chamber and you close the lid, and it just takes a 110-volt power outlet. It's no big deal, but it cleans and charges and stores toys at the same time. The UV Home Play has multiple USB outlets. Let's see what it's got here. It has three USB charging ports. You can put corded toys in there. You can put mini vibes. You can put anything in there. As a matter of fact, you can put your phone in there. You can put all kinds of things. So for you who are concerned about germs and really would like to be the most sure you can possibly be, the Home Play box, the larger one with the measurements of 16.4 by 8.75 and then 5 inches in depth. It can hold multiple toys. I'm pretty sure it could even hold the Tantus Hoss. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, it's got those three USB charging points plus an additional access port for non-USB devices to be charged by a wall outlet. In other words, if you have the old style magic wand corded or any kind of corded toy, it has a way for that cord to go out of the box and then go to a wall outlet. So that's another thing that they do. It's pretty generously sized, and it does say it will hold a magic wand. The coolest thing is that it's like charging and sanitizing at the same time. So what's the difference between that one and the Go Play, as opposed to the Home Play, the Go Play? The Go Play is a smaller one. I gave you those measurements. One of the cool things about that is it basically charges. So in other words, you are charging the whole box. That's why it's called the Go Play. It has a rechargeable battery itself for convenient travel so that it's going to be working when you take it somewhere, even if you can't be plugging that in. The Go Play is the size to fit in a large purse or an overnight bag. And it holds most compact toys, and the rechargeable battery, it actually not only runs those UV lights, but it charges your toys while you're on the go. So theoretically, you know, you use your toy, you jump in the car, and you want to have that toy ready when you get home because the sex you had was just so fucking hot. And when you get home, you want to masturbate with that toy again, right? So you clean it off and then you throw it in there. And on the drive home, it can actually be getting clean and charged. So anyway, you get the point. I am thrilled about these things because I do go through a number of toys in my encounters, in my engagements with partners. I do like to try a bunch of different stuff. And it's really awesome to have that reassurance that this is so effective of sanitizing and killing all the bad stuff. So there you go. The links for those are going to be in the Linkorama as well, of course. The Go Play, which is the smaller one, and the Home Play. And I think that will do it for this podcast. Whew! You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has the informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from the website if you like. Just go to where that blog post is, look underneath the picture, and click on the words Pegging Paradise Podcast Number, and it might even say in front of it, Listen to Pegging Paradise Podcast Number, blah, 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 right? That's how you do it. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, you can use the coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too pedantic, too perverted, or too plain. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy, throw those questions in my mailbox, or call me at 805-500-6544. 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.